Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. Join Josh and Chuck, the guys who bring you stuff you should know, as they take a trip around the world to help you get smarter in a topsy-turvy economy. Check out the all-new Super Stuff Guide to the Economy from HowStuffWorks.com, available now exclusively on iTunes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and sitting next to me, as usual, at the Tech Stuff News Desk is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Bonjour.
No, we're not talking about networking today.
No.
Well, we are, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. I guess we can't get away from that no matter what, huh?
No, sadly. But we are here to talk about gaming.
Yes, gaming, something I am passionate about, despite the fact that I don't own any... Well, I own a Wii. That's the only current generation console I own.
I don't need to know about your Wii.
Yeah,
well, however,
I'd like to share anyway.
We are talking about networks and gaming. Wait, how do those go together again?
Well, of course, networks and gaming aren't new. We've been networking and gaming for years and years now. But what we wanted to talk about was a new kind of networked gaming where the network is doing all the number crunching and graphics processing and all that kind of stuff on its end. And so you just need a very thin client to access those games. So again, this is taking us back to one of our favorite topics here at Tech Stuff. That would be cloud computing.
This is my wireless router. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Nice. Nice. Full Metal Jacket reference, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you.
This is my router. This is my gun. Okay. So, first, before we get too far into this, I wanted to kind of talk about, reasons why some of us are a little skeptical about the whole cloud gaming thing. And, it's because in recent years, we've seen some companies, one in particular, make a claim about an upcoming console that wasn't so much a cloud computing console, but was a console promising these really big, big results, and nothing ever came of it.
Well, Jonathan, I don't know what you could mean.
I could mean the Phantom Game Console. One of the most aptly named consoles ever to come out of anyone's imagination.
Yeah, honestly, when you're thinking about the Phantom Console and how it never appeared, you would think, wait a minute, did they know they were going to pull one over on me?
Yeah.
I mean, with a name like that, you're thinking they did that on purpose.
So,
or at least I am.
The Phantom Game Console was an idea that came out of a company called Infinium Labs. And the basic concept behind the console was that you would have a console that was always hooked up to the internet, through a high speed internet connection, a broadband connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you would download games from the internet onto this console, and it would have all the software on the console necessary to play games that were meant for PCs, for other game consoles. I think they mentioned like the PS2 and the Xbox and all the Nintendo games. So it was kind of this pie in the sky unified game console where you could suddenly have access to all these different games using one machine, which is kind of the thing that a lot of gamers have wanted for a really long time. Because despite the fact that you have fanboys of every single gaming device out there who will claim to their grave that their favorite console is the best one, ultimately, every single one of those fanboys has a game that he or she, I guess I could put fangirls in there too, wants to really play, but it's on another console.
Like E.T. for the Atari 2600?
Why are you trying to derail me?
Oh.
No one wants to play E.T. for the Atari 2600. If you do want to play E.T. for the Atari 2600, talk to me, because I might have a copy somewhere.
I'm very sorry that those of you listening can't see the vein that throbs on his forehead when I bring that game up.
What a horrible game. No. I'm talking about good games.
You pick up the little Reese's Pieces and walk around.
Okay, so let's say that I'm an Xbox owner and I really want to access, what's a good PS2 game or PS3 game that's only for that system? I was going to say Grand Theft Auto, but that changed.
I was going to, I might say Ratchet and Clank.
Okay, Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say that there's a game that's specifically for one console. You own the other one. You would have to go out and either buy or rent the other console before you could play that game, which is a big bummer. So the Phantom Game Console was promising, hey, you're going to be able to play any game you want on this one system. Very, very, kind of enticing idea. There's a little problem.
Oh, yeah.
There was no evidence that the thing actually existed. There were some pictures, but the pictures weren't really conclusive. Some people did some investigating and found that the address for the company led to like a little empty office building, or I guess it was actually an empty office in a strip mall. And,
nice.
It was, it was like 100 square feet with, a desk and 2 phones, and that was it. So people were immediately skeptical of this, and a lot of people were calling, shenanigans. And I believe it was seconded, so they got the brooms out. That's a reference for the South Park fans out there. So anyway, it did turn out that the Infinium Labs eventually kind of backed away from this whole Phantom Game Console thing. They do have a product out now. It's a keyboard.
And they changed their name?
Yes. Yes.
So they're actually named for the Phantom now.
And they apparently lost about $62.7 million between 2002 and 2005.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm betting that's not on that 100-square-foot office space.
Probably not.
At least not only on that.
At any rate, there were a lot of charges of fraud and stuff being bandied about during that whole time. So that has understandably made people a little skeptical about other gaming systems that aren't coming from one of the big names. That, you know, most people think like, okay, either it's not going to make an impact at all, it doesn't really exist, or, you know, the guy's crazy. You know,
yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, you've got your Segas and Nintendos and Ataris and people who, you know, have the wherewithal and expertise doing this stuff. And then somebody else, like, say, Microsoft wants to join in. You go, well, OK, sure, they can throw hundreds of millions of dollars at doing this. So, OK, yeah, I'll believe that they're doing that. But
right.
If, you know, Joe comes up and say, yeah, I've started Joe's Games, I'll have a console out next year. You're going, yeah, OK, I'm sorry, who are you again?
Right. But in this case, we're talking about someone who actually is well known, who has come out with this new proposed gaming system. And we should add that the one we're about to talk about is not necessarily the only cloud gaming system in development right now. It's just the one that's made the biggest splash as of the recording of this podcast.
Yeah, it's made quite a few recent headlines.
Right. And we're talking about the OnLive system, which was unveiled at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco in March 2009. And this is sort of the brainchild of Steve Perlman, who you may know from such wonderful projects as Web TV and QuickTime. So, and, so not an unknown.
No, not in the least. His company, Reardon, I believe a reference to, Atlas Shrugged.
Yes. Good old Ayn Rand.
Yep.
And if one thing can make me madder than E.T. for the Atari 2600, it's Ayn Rand.
All right, then.
Let's move on.
Yeah. At one point, the company was named Reardon Steel.
Yes.
And, that was about the time that the Moxie, digital video recorder was part of the company. It is now spun off. It is part of Digio. But you know, these are some serious projects. This is not an unknown quantity in the least.
Yeah, and, it's not a fly by night operation.
And if you look at the console, it's very, very simple.
Actually, it's not even
tiny.
Not even necessarily a console. It depends on which version you're looking at.
It's a micro console.
Yeah. And that's again just one version of it. So here's the thing. He introduced OnLive at the Game Developers Conference, and said that it's been in development for 7 years. So there are three different versions of this thing. There's one that connects to your television.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a software that you would have on your PC or software you would have on your Mac.
Thank you.
So for once, Mac users are not left out of the game. However, I should point out, only for Macs that have Intel processors.
Well, that's for all intents and purposes the modern Mac.
Right. If you own an old Mac, then you may not be able to run this.
It will not work on my PowerBook.
Yeah, you're going to need an Intel-based Mac running a current version of the operating system. But otherwise, you can run this software on a PC or a Mac. And for the TV, because you can't run software on a TV yet, they have this little mini console. And it looks about the size of a... like an iPhone, really. I mean, it's tiny.
Well, it doesn't have any of the parts that you would associate with a traditional console, with traditional, the modern console. So it doesn't have a hard drive on it.
Right.
It doesn't have any moving parts. Well, I don't think there are any moving parts. It doesn't have a hard drive and doesn't have a disc player in it.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to be looking at a Blu-ray player. But then again, it's supposed to be a lot cheaper, although they haven't really announced a lot of pricing for the thing yet.
Right. So right now it's got what it does have, the console that is, it has support for up to 4 wireless controllers.
Bluetooth.
Yeah, Bluetooth support for 4 headsets.
There you go.
It has 2 USB ports for physical connections to a controller or a keyboard or a mouse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an S-optical output, Ethernet port. That's, of course, where you would plug it up to your high-speed internet connection, because mm-hmm. like the Phantom, this requires an internet connection. It has a video audio out port and a micro USB power port. That's
very
it.
Nice.
That's that. This little bitty box, that's all it has on it. And then if you plug all that up and you hook it up to your TV, you got it hooked up to your internet broadband service. Theoretically, you would then have access to all the games that are on its system, and you would purchase games the way you normally would, except, of course, you wouldn't own a physical copy of the game.
That's true.
You would essentially own
in the cloud.
Yeah, you would own access to the game. Really, because you wouldn't have, they wouldn't send you any files. They wouldn't send you a CD or anything. You would log into the system and you would access the game that exists on these servers in the cloud. And then you could play the game through that. And all the graphics processing, all of the number crunching, all of that goes on in the cloud. So it doesn't matter how powerful a machine you have. If you have a PC or a Mac that meets the minimum specifications, which are really low.
Really minimal.
Really minimal. I mean, if you have just an old Windows machine that's running Windows XP, you can use this.
You don't even have to.
At least according to OnLive.
You don't even have to. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
You don't even have to have the latest Apple operating system.
No.
I believe it runs on 10.4 and maybe even 10.3.
It does run on 10.3.
So, I mean, these are operating systems that are several years old.
Yeah. So,
it's, you know, it doesn't have to have bleeding edge hardware for it to work.
And for a lot of gamers, this is, this is kind of a dream come true. I mean, I don't know about you, Chris, but I was a big computer gamer when during the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really loved computer games. But right around the time of the early 90s, that's when games started coming out that required a more powerful video processor.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it started to feel like if you didn't go out and buy a new video card every 6 months or so, you couldn't play the latest games. And video cards cost around $200. So you're talking about, okay, I'm going to spend $260 to play this $60 game because before I can play it, I have to get a new video card.
Right.
I was not willing to do that. That is the point where I dropped out of playing computer games. So for the last 15 years or so, I haven't really been playing computer games that often, at least not ones that required a, high powered video card.
Right.
So I switched back to consoles, and a lot of people did because console, you know, you knew it was good for a few years. Then you didn't have to worry about upgrades and things like the Xbox, the Wii, the PS2 and 3. You can connect those to the network and actually get patches through the network. So if even in that case, you know, your machine is getting upgraded, but you don't have to buy new components for it to make it so that it stays in working condition.
Right. So this thing would theoretically rule that out completely because it doesn't, all it does is function as a, you know, a go-between, a proxy.
Right.
Between you and the cloud. It doesn't have to be updated. At least, you know, maybe a little firmware every once in a while.
Yeah, it's all updated on the back end, as we like to say.
Right.
And occasionally you might get a patch to whatever the software you're running on your machine in order to access this. I assume it's something like a browser. The thing is, this is right now it's in internal beta. It's supposed to go to a wider beta this summer. And then according to OnLive, it should be ready for consumers by winter of 2009, which I'm really excited about. I mean, the idea of being able to play this on my television or on a computer, I really like this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it supports networked games, so you can play with or against other people online. All of this sounds great. They've got some great partners. They've got EA Games, Ubisoft, Take-Two Interactive.
2D Boy, creators of World of Goo.
Atari.
Oh, yeah.
THQ, which, by the way, produced one of my favorite pro wrestling video games of all time, WrestleMania 2000, and for the N64. And
not that you're biased.
Not that I'm biased. Those were awesome video games. Okay, anyone who ever played any of those old N64 wrestling games will agree with me. Anyway, so they have these great partners there, and more will surely join them. Because think about this, guys. When you build a video game, the expense of building it isn't just in the development. It's in the production. I mean, you have to produce boxes. You have to produce, you know, whatever media you're going to, you know, encode the game on, whether it's a cartridge, a disc, whatever.
You have to pay for distribution.
You have to pay for distribution. Yeah, exactly. There are all these things you have to pay for. There's extra marketing costs. This cuts out a lot of those considerations. So now developers, now they're like, well, this is great because now we won't have to pay for all this production. We can get a larger return on our investment. I wouldn't necessarily expect this to make video games cheaper, because if the market is going to bear a $50 or $60 video game, there's no reason for them to charge less.
That's true, although they may do what some of the other digital distribution markets have done and trim the price a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because there is still the matter of having to pay the developers.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of other costs, overhead. You know, if you got a lot of people in one building developing, they require a lot of Mountain Dew.
Tab
and Mountain Dew and Fritos. Yes,
and Fritos.
Code
Monkey for the win.
So, you know, there are some serious costs that do have to be, taken care of. And of course, then there's that whole profit motive. But, you know, they might trim that. There is one neat advantage, though, that this will have that other game consoles don't, unless, of course, you're, you know, going to rent the video games. And that is that they're going to let you try this out. On the website, it actually says, hey, you'll be able to try some of these out. And if you like to keep going with that, you could purchase the game.
Yeah, have little demo levels.
Yeah, which is great because, you know, other than renting, until renting became popular, and that was a real pain in the neck. You spent $50 on a game and went, man, this thing is junk.
Right. And there are a couple of other really cool things for developers, too, if you think about it. For one, you don't have to worry about resale.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thorn in computer game companies' sides right now, is the fact that people get tired of games. They can go and trade them in for other games, and then those old games can be sold again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the game company doesn't see any of that money. You know, they would rather sell a new game every single time. Well, if it's all, you know, you're accessing, if you're buying access to a game, you can't resell that. Sorry, I am from the South and occasionally it pokes through. You know, it's the other nice thing is that you only develop for one platform.
That's true.
You know, you don't have to develop for if you have a game and you want to make it available to every single console, that means you have to go through the development process, well, essentially three times if we're talking about the three major consoles, right?
Right.
That costs
plus
a lot of
PC.
Money. Exactly. And that costs Mac. Money and it takes time. And, you know, you think about it, that divides your resources by three or four amounts. You know, this way you're developing for one platform. Anyone who's using a PC, Mac, or television can access it. I mean, that's almost a no-brainer.
Plus, you might be able to go back and release older titles
right.
and continue to, you know, long tail it.
Stuff over.
Yeah. You might even be able to find, I mean, Atari's a partner. Maybe they'll release E.T.
Now, why do you do this to me?
I love watching now, that pain throb.
There are some problems.
Okay.
The biggest problem is that if you do not have a reliable internet broadband connection, you could experience what is called latency.
Yes.
That's when you...
Latency bad.
Yeah, latency is very bad. That's when you try and do something in the game, and then a second or two later, your character's movements reflect what you just did. So, like, you press the jump button, and then one Mississippi, two Mississippi, Mario jumps. That's not good. It does not make for a fun gaming experience. You're almost guaranteed to fail miserably every time you game. There are other problems as well. Some first-person shooters, when you have latency issues, the computer itself will allow your character to keep running in whatever direction he, she was running in at the time. And then when you reconnect, it'll suddenly say, oops, he's actually across the map on the other side, which immediately makes everyone on the opposing team think that you cheated.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, that happened to me, actually. That's how I stopped playing Xbox Live, because my internet broadband connection was so poor, I couldn't maintain a game, and I had a lot of people accusing me of cheating using standby, and I was not. I want to go on the record. It was my lousy internet connection. So at any rate, if I had the system at home and my internet connection was acting up, then my experience would not be very pleasant.
Right.
The other big problem is if anything major happens to OnLive, like the company goes out of business, you've lost all those games. If somehow Sony went out of business tomorrow, you would still have your Sony PS2 or PS3 and all the games you had bought, and you could play those for as long as the machine would run and as long as those discs were in good shape. But if OnLive goes belly up, then you have no more games.
That's right.
So yep. There are some risks, and those are common throughout all cloud computing applications, not just gaming.
Yep.
It also is bad news for the PC market, because gaming rigs, that's what some of the highest end computer systems that are available for personal computers, right?
Uh-huh.
If suddenly the demand for that drops through the ground, companies don't have the incentive to develop these really super fast processors. And so we might actually see Moore's Law come to an end.
Wow.
Yeah, because you think about it, like if all the computing is being done on the cloud and I don't need a powerful computer, you stop fueling into that cycle of let's develop even faster processors.
There would be no financial incentive for them to do so.
And then cats and dogs living together.
Mass hysteria. How many more movie quotes are we going to squeeze into this podcast?
That's going to be it, because I'm going to move on to
okay.
Listener mail.
Okay, you totally caught me with that one.
Okay, so today's listener mail comes from Sunny. And Sunny says, I recently subscribed to your podcast and have just caught up with all of the episodes. In the recent episode on how nanotechnology works, a listener asked if either of you had run Linux or BSD. One of the concerns you had in regards to partitioning was in regards to partitioning and the subsequent difficulties that one might encounter when doing so. If you're not already familiar with it, Ubuntu comes with an installer called Wubby. that will install Ubuntu alongside your Windows installation without the need for partitioning. And he gives a link, and he's talks about it being very simple and straightforward. And, you know, one of us has used Ubuntu.
Actually, yeah. As a matter of fact, since your email, we acquired a test computer from the ranks of the hobbled old machines here.
Yes, we've had in the bowels of HowStuffWorks.com.
Yeah, we had to fight off some...
Balrogs.
Yeah, I was going to say orcs, but yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Anyway, and yeah, we installed... actually, we installed a copy of Windows 7, the beta, and I said, you know what? This is a brand new installation. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm going to go ahead and install the latest version of Ubuntu. And you're right. It worked. It was smooth as glass. And as a matter of fact, that old beat-up PC I had at home, I did the same thing. And, you know, had some information on there that I was a little nervous about. But it did fine, and it works perfectly. And it just it goes where you want it to go and installs alongside beautifully, and it works great.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sonny. So if you want to check that out, you can go and search for Ubuntu. And
it's free. Want to get your hands on a free operating system that's got all the essentials in it. You know, definitely check that out.
Excellent. So if any of you have any further questions, concerns, comments, you know, corrections for those few times we get something wrong, send it to us, techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Remember, we also have the blog, Tech Stuff Live. You can find access to that at our homepage at howstuffworks.com, as well as articles about everything from cloud computing to video gaming. And we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.